Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And we pray to that God, our refuge and our strength. Let us bow. Mighty God, our rock of all ages, who has been our help in ages past, our hope for all eternity, we give you thanks. With the sound of bells and voices, piano and organ, with our hands of service, with our greetings and handshakes and smiles, we welcome you as we welcome each other. Be with us, teach us, speak to us, encourage us, forever be our rock, our refuge, through Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We welcome you on this beautiful Lord's Day, a very special time of worship as we together lift our voices and as we sing, as we pray. As we have a special commissioning a little bit later of Austin, as we participate together to let each other know of our mutual support and encouragement along life's way. And we're glad you have come this way. We welcome those who might be visiting with us for the first time. We have information that's there in the pew pockets. You'll pick up those little information forms, if you will, and those registration cards. If you would fill out your name and your address, we would be glad to welcome you in a more personal way. At the conclusion of this and all of our services is a hymn of response. That's a quiet time that you can talk to God, a time in which you can make known a public profession of faith, in which you can come and unite with our church upon transfer of your membership. However it is that God leads you, we pray that you would respond. Now, we do have some special guests with us, some family of Austin, but I have a feeling you know them because you have met Amy and Justin Mofield. We're glad to have Amy and Justin. I'm sorry Noah and Mark can be with us, but tell them we understand they had other commitments, I understand. But you're welcome anytime to come. And Austin's grandparents, glad that you're here. Perhaps there are other family. And we're going to have a chance perhaps to meet someone that you haven't met. We don't do this often, but we are going to pass the peace and greet one another. Now, if you have germs on your hands, don't shake hands. Or if you don't want to shake hands, just nod and greet. That's fine. Just smile, and we'll understand. Would you please stand as we greet one another? Say hello to someone. The peace of Christ.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please continue to stand as we sing our congregational song of praise. We did this a couple of weeks ago, and it was a choir special, but this week we're making it congregational, so you may know it. Please sing along with us. The words will be on the screen. This is Oceans.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Without borders, let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine.
Thank you. Be seated.
Acts chapter 13 reads this: In the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This morning, our church has the opportunity to continue in the Christian heritage of setting apart an individual who has been called, who has answered the call, and is being sent out by our congregation. Many of you have had an opportunity to meet Austin Evans through the years as a member of our youth group, and Austin finished his first year at Appalachian State University this year, just finished up a week or two ago, and during this time of first year in college, Austin felt the call God had placed on his heart to serve this summer. Just as Saul and just as Barnabas heard God calling and answered the call, Austin has done the same thing. And it is our job as a congregation to support him, to call him up and to set him apart and to commission him for the ministry and the missions work he will do this summer. I'm going to invite Austin to join me up front, and Austin is going to share about his future experiences that begin tomorrow.
Hey, everybody. So, as David said, I am leaving tomorrow. I'm working with YouthWorks, the mission organization that we go on mission trips with all the time. I am technically the program coordinator, and what that really means is I lead the worship and group times at night. So I'll be playing guitar, leading worship, and then I'll be basically, I guess, not saying preaching because that's the wrong word, but I guess that's what I'm doing. And then I'll be helping out with work sites every day, just doing what I can, and I'll have 2.5 months up in, well, I leave Monday for Denver, and we get trained there for a week, and then me and my team of three other girls are driving up to South Dakota, and I am on the Lake Traverse Reservation in South Dakota. It's a little town called Sisseton, about 2,400 people. The town's not very prosperous. There's like, I think, 8% of people, only 8% of the people have like at least a bachelor's degree. 18% are without a high school diploma, and like I think something ridiculous like 30-something percent live below the poverty line. So it's a it's a really poor and little town that hopefully we can go and we can make a difference this summer. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited, and I'm really blessed with this opportunity, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank y'all.
Thank you, Austin. Just stay up here.
All right.
Having experienced mission trips through YouthWorks, they do a tremendous work, and it's not just the community that Austin will be impacting. Austin will have close to 75 to 100 teenagers come each week, and he will be in charge of leading this group, him and these three other college females who are a part of his team. Austin has heard God's call, and he placed it in his hands. Austin didn't get to choose his site. Austin said, I'll go wherever you call me, and God has called him to South Dakota. Austin is going to be exhausted. I'll tell you up front, you're going to be tired. You're going to be whipped. And you're going to deal with what I have to deal with, working with youth on a daily basis. Payback. But I know Austin's heart, and I know Austin's call, and I know Austin has answered that call. And I know the impact that he's going to have on those teenagers that come and look up to him in the weeks to come during the summer, but also know the impact he's going to make in the community. Austin didn't share this. There's a Sioux Indian Reservation right adjacent to this city, so he'll not only work with the people in the city, but also have opportunities to work with Native Americans. So it's a tremendous opportunity. And just as many years ago, Saul and Barnabas was set aside by the church at Antioch, today we set aside Austin for this ministry and we commission him. Obviously, Austin, you're going to be gone the entire summer. And there's a group of people. Our church will miss you deeply, but my guess is your family is going to miss you a little bit more. And so I'm going to ask if his family, all the family members that are here for Austin this morning, if y'all would join him up front here on the pulpit area. Austin, you might want to move to this side. There's a little bit more room. Yeah, pseudo family too. Real family and the rest of them. There you go. And family members, if you would, Austin, if you can stand out front a little bit. Everybody place a hand on Austin's shoulder, on his back, on his ankle, on his foot, wherever you can get a hand. The church set aside Barnabas and Saul by laying on the hands and praying for them, and we do that as a congregation today. But he's not just represented by his family and his close friends today. We as a church have to do the same. So if you would commission Austin this morning for this missions time this summer, I ask you to please stand at this time. I'm going to ask Dennis, and you, if you and Laura would come and place your hands on the family members behind them to represent our congregation. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you have called and Austin has answered. Father God, you have led and Austin is following. And as he departs tomorrow morning, heading to Denver for a week of training, of team building with his fellow Youth Works leaders, I ask that you just blanket him and his entire group and all the Youth Works leaders this summer with your safety. I ask that you bless them with a time of growing together in a week that will strengthen a bond that will carry through this entire summer process in South Dakota. Father God, I lift up Lake Traverse, South Dakota to you. I lift up that community because they are going to be touched by Austin and his fellow Youth Works leaders, but all the youth that will be traveling there this summer, they will be touched and impacted by your word and your love. Father God, I lift up Austin to you specifically this morning because I know you have gifted him in so many different ways, and I know he's going to share those gifts with all the youth that set foot in their lodging place and in the community in which he lives. Father, I lift him up in those times of worship each night as they bring the youth back together for a time of celebration, a time of worship, a time of debriefing. Father God, I ask that you breathe through his words. May his words be your words. May his words be impactful on the youth that hear them. Father God, I just ask that you just bless him with your spirit, and may his actions, may his words be your actions and your words. Father God, I am excited. I'm excited about to hear of all the wonderful opportunities and experiences Austin's going to have this summer. And as he returns to us in the fall, Father God, we look forward to hearing all the wonderful stories. Father, you've already prepared him. You prepared this community. You prepared the other Youth Works leaders. You prepared Youth Works. You prepared those youth groups that are preparing to go to this trip. Father God, you have already tilled the ground. The seeds are going to be planted, and I look forward to seeing how they grow. Father God, may Austin be your hands and your feet this summer. May he lead with your spirit. May he love with your heart. Father, we here at First Baptist Elon lift up him, lift up his family to you. We just ask that in that time of absence that they stay connected and they're able to hear and experience each other, even though it may be many states away. Father God, we just ask that you cover his family with your safety, with your love, and we look forward to the time of return. But Father, as we send him out today, may he know he has a church family praying with him every single day. May he feel your love and our love. We place them in your hands. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our offertory hymn is number 395. We're going to sing the first and last verses of God of Grace and God of Glory. Please stand.
Thank you for walking with us every day, dear Lord. And thank you for walking through the transition, dear Lord, through this church. We know that you will be with there every day, moves, dear God. And as we have a chapter coming forward, dear Lord, we know that you will be with us, dear God. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
this morning and this week, our prayer revolution focus is on our formations team. Formations team consists of five members who seek to guide the time of Christian education that takes place in these walls here at First Baptist Elon. That includes Sunday school, that includes Sunday night studies, that includes specialty studies for women and men, and whatever might cover. We have a team that is dedicated to seeking to guide the growth, the spiritual growth that is called to take place within these walls. Many people think that formations in a Christian church only takes place on Sunday morning during that 9:45 Sunday school hour. You would be amiss if you believed that, because education takes place every moment of every day. The formations team seeks to guide the principles that we seek to grow and learn here at First Baptist Elon. And this morning and this week, I ask that you lift up the formations team as they continue to guide us in a time of transition, but also in a time of hope and expectation that will be coming in the next few weeks. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, praying for the formations team this morning. Father God, as we gather here as a body united in a time of worship, this also is a learning experience, whether through reciting the Lord's Prayer, reading Scripture, singing songs, knowing the message behind these songs. Father God, these are all times of formation, periods where we grow closer to you because we learn more about you. Father God, I am thankful for our formations team. I'm thankful for their leadership here at First Baptist Elon, for their guidance as they seek to provide opportunities where we can draw closer to each other, as we can seek to draw closer to you. Whether it be identifying Sunday school teachers on Sunday morning, ordering literature or bringing in devotionals that are needed, guiding the times of Sunday night discussions and education processes, or whether it be through special events. Father God, we are thankful for their leadership and their continued guidance for our congregation. Father God, may we not just pray for our formations team, but may we take part in that process of growing, because we have never, ever reached a point where we cannot draw closer to you and learn more about you. This Christian faith is a lifelong process. We never know everything, because we worship and we celebrate and we learn about a God who is so amazing and so great. Father God, guide our time of formation here at First Baptist Elon, the opportunities that lie ahead of us, and the top opportunities to grow closer to you. We lift up our team. We lift up this congregation in our learning process. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Remember who you are. Actually, when Austin was up here and we gathered around him and all of us said to him we would support and encourage him, we were telling him something about who he is. And I will say this, even though you may not feel like you're preaching, remember the words of St. Augustine, I believe it was, who said, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." So you are preaching the gospel in many ways. Remember that. We're given a lot of messages as we grow up. Parents tell us a lot about who we are or who they want us to be. When you're a teenager, if you're a parent of a teenager, or you will be soon, you'll tell them certain things when they go out to the prom or when they're graduating and going off to the beach with their friends after graduation. You'll say a number of things. Most of you won't say, "Well, have a good time." That's already what they're intending to do. They know that. If you reach the point of where you can say that, then perhaps that's a good sign. Some of you will say, as a friend of mine did, "Remember who you are. Remember you are a Williams," for example. In other words, the family name. You carry out your family name wherever you go. Now, my family was a little conservative in terms of adventure, so the words that came to me were often the words, "Be careful." Some of you know that too. So when I told my mom that I was called on mission to go to South America, she said, "Can't you go somewhere closer like Texas? Can't you go somewhere closer than South Dakota?" God calls us. And God asks us and reminds us who and whose we are. By the way, I like this one. My daughter-in-law was always told by her parents, "Keep your head screwed on, Susan." I love that one. Keep your head screwed on. A lot of things define us: who we are, how we talk, schools we attend, who we vote for, the teams we pull for. When I was a fourth grader, I was a Dodgers fan, and I was also a race car fan. Anybody that drove a Chevrolet was okay with me. And I thought it was completely incongruent that one of my friends could be a Yankee fan who also loved Fords. I just could not imagine that. But that defined us back in the fourth grade. But there's something that defines us more. As we come out of these waters of baptism, we have an identity. And that identity says that our name has been changed. Oh, we have our own names. We call them our Christian names given by our parents. But there's a name that's more important that takes precedent. Follower of Jesus. A Christian. The way, the truth, the life. And so we read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Some words for believers in the church at that time, but words for us as well. "Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up your salvation. Know that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God. My English teacher would say these are mixed metaphors in this particular passage. She would also remind me that when dangling, don't use participles. And a preposition is not a good word to end a sentence with. Now, if you combine all these metaphors that Peter has listed in this exhortation or teaching, they sound rather ridiculous. For example, you are a chosen race of rocks that bring forth milk. It makes no sense. So every rule is broken by the writer to get a point across. But the point is an important one for us to hear. We are people who are in process of growing up, of being saved. It is a continual process, and we are all along that road. We share in that regardless of our age, okay? We are people who need to nurture one another and to be nurtured, not to stumble, not to trip each other up, to support and encourage each other. We are a special people, for we follow Christ. Hence, we have special privileges and obligations as well. So he puts it in this way: you're like newborn babes. At first you need mother's milk. Then you learn to eat other foods in advance. A church is a place where we all are welcome to learn and grow at our own pace at different levels. We are all welcome here across generation lines. And that church should, our church and the church should always be alert and aware. And that's what we're about, God's people. We are to be sacrificial, dedicated in sharing our gifts, our resources, our lives. The church is the presence of the body of Christ. And so we spend time together in service and in worship and in fellowship. But the church, this and all of our churches, must do better in our stewardship. Neither you nor God will be happy with gifts left over given to the church. You've made decisions which commit you to mission and ministry, to support missionaries like Laura and Carson, to support the missionaries and ministers you have right here in this building. They're not just employees who receive a salary. These are people on mission, appointed and commissioned by you. Take care of them. And make sure your giving reflects your commitment and your priority as being the living stones making up this church. Let us be a church that does not cause other people to stumble. Let us be a church which seeks both evangelism in its best and most honorable sense and justice in its broadest and best sense. Let us not separate the mission of the church to make disciples from the call of Jesus to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and care for the orphans and widows, many of them who are Native Americans, by the way, and that's where you'll find a very high incidence of alcoholism and family separation and widows and orphans. There are good days ahead for this church, but there are difficult days ahead as well. Days of trial for each of us and for the church universal. But we are strong as we are strong together, recognizing all of us are unique, all have gifts, but as we give, all of us, generously and graciously, and as we care for the church and nurture each other, we are strong as we claim our identity in our baptism. And each time we baptize a person, we don't just observe the baptism, we reaffirm our own baptismal vows to reject sin and evil and to follow Jesus Christ wherever he leads us. We are strong because we are part of one church, the one church, the spiritual church of living stones. Together we make a beautiful building. Alone we may build nothing. And at worst, we become just stones in the way to trip and stumble over. May God grant us good days of service and mission, right here, within this room, outside these walls, throughout the world. And may we all form the building of church, not one made with hands, but built as a spiritual house of living stones, with Christ always the cornerstone. We are called from the identity of the waters of baptism to be God's people. And that's an identity we can live with for all eternity. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, if we have forgotten our purpose and our identity, forgive us. If we have rooted it too much in our own earthly families, forgive us. Show us anew whose we are, and set before us the high calling of being your people, your own people, a royal priesthood. In the name of Jesus our Christ, our cornerstone, our holy sanctuary, we pray. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, "We Are Called to Be God's People." As we sing the verses of this, I'll be at the front on behalf of the church to receive any who would come to profess your faith or follow Jesus in baptism. As God leads you, would you respond as we stand together?
Go forth as living stones, ready and equipped to serve.